this is...
Wow!
What a week.
What a week. Politrix.
Welcome to hashtag Politrix with Botsang Muilwa. We know for a fact that he hasn't been one of those new additions to the MK party. And we know he hasn't bought anything from a certain clothing store, so he hasn't joined Mapanyaza either. However, he's always welcome to our party, no matter what he's wearing. Please give a warm welcome back to our political commentator, our Minister of Interpretation, Botsang Modimowame Muilwa. Botsang!
Yes, Brother Fresh, good morning, Tato, and good morning to the fellow subscribers to this channel.
And please subscribe, please like, please share links with all your friends and family. Anyone interested in current affairs and politics and international relations, this is the show to watch.
Yes, my brother, thanks. And as always, the response has been very good. They even check on our socks and the watches I wear. You know, somebody said, wow, Botsang's watch is a very observant viewer.
People do that. They'll zoom in. They'll zoom in and say,
zooming.
Hey, so, last week, Botsang, did you have pizza for breakfast? Because there was a bit of mozzarella on your beard. So you need to be very, very careful.
Yeah.
I think before we jump in, Bafana Bafana playing in the AFCON quarters today, playing Cape Verde. And we're going to kick their butts and we're going to move on to the semifinals. So congratulations in advance to Bafana Bafana. I think a lot of people did not believe in the team. But I'm not going to say upsets me. Mm-hmm. When you look at Hugo Broos's record with Bafana, they've actually been doing well. They've been consistently doing well.
He has been doing well. Look, I'm one of the people who are not supporters of Hugo Broos, not the person, not the coach, but because I believe in local coaches. But he has done very well. He has built this team very well from scratch. But you know how South Africans are. We are excited now that they are playing well, but we want the end results. And what are the end results? It wins, and it's to win the AFCON. And,
yes.
And if, remember the last two AFCONs, we didn't qualify.
Mm.
We missed a lot of World Cups. And I think for Hugo to reach, let's say, the finals of AFCON, it will be a very big achievement.
Mm.
We just need consistency. You know, if Zafa can stop meddling politically with the work of the coach, but he has done something that I've observed.
Mm.
He has... ignored the political and administrative interference by Safa management. He's doing his own thing.
Sure.
He's focusing on his work. And I think that is what is making him successful.
Absolutely. So shout out Bafana Bafana. May you make it to the final. We'll be there waiting with our ill-fitting Bafana Bafana jerseys.
Okay.
So this weekend, IEC final voter registration is upon us. And prisoners, youth, and people who moved overseas are targets for the IEC, and therefore potential voters are 26 million potential voters.
Yeah. That's the estimation from the IEC.
Sure.
That looking at the reports of the statistics of South Africa, the population and demographics and statistics, we have approximately 26 million potential voters, of which 23% of that 26 million it's newly qualified youth. Youth who didn't qualify to vote before, now they qualify to vote. Very important.
People who've turned 18 over the last 5 years.
Exactly. I thought it's 16, the age of... Oh, no, 16 is the driver's license.
Yes.
18, okay.
No, 16 is...
To acquire your driver's license.
No, a learner's at 16.
Oh, the learner's, okay.
Or a basic motorbike, but 18 for license.
So it goes with the adult age of majority, okay?
Yes.
I've learned something today. You see, I don't only teach you, I also learn. But nonetheless... the IEC is having this weekend as the last weekend of voter registration. And again, the only disturbing part is the president hasn't proclaimed or gazetted the date, or even just to proclaim it, to announce it. I suspect he will do it during the SONA.
On Tuesday, Julius Malema tweeted at the president, how? We need the date,
I think I saw
we need to unseat you.
I think I saw it. He even addressed him as, I think, Mnumzana, Mshekazi Ramaphosa. We are waiting for the date. So I think it will be very important because what it will do, look, the constitution allows him, you know, he still has time, but the sooner he does it, the better for all contestants as individuals and political parties.
True.
Because then it will give them a time frame to know where they are working on. But I think the IEC is on the right track with its project. One thing fresh that I thought I should explain to our viewers and followers is that it does not mean when the voter registration weekend ends this weekend, the first weekend of February 2024, it does not mean that people cannot go online and change or visit IEC offices.
Ah.
It is just the campaign that is ending this weekend.
Okay.
Up
but
until,
the process is still open.
The process is still open.
Okay.
Up until the president pronounces and declares and gazettes, then we can still change and move and do things around. I'm one of the people, because I've not believed in elections for many years, but I'm one of the people who hasn't checked whether I'm still allowed to vote where I voted the last time. You understand? So I think I will do it towards the end when I've decided I'm voting this year.
Sure.
And when I've decided whether or whom I'm going to vote for. But I think that is the campaign that political parties will be hard at work this coming weekend and to try and encourage people to go and register and vote. But I think the IEC must up its game as well. After this weekend of physical and station, they must use platforms like podcasts, electronic form of communication, be on the social media and be very active on social media, like Instagram and Facebook and so forth, Twitter, where youth have access to create the hype. They should not stop now, but I think they should continue to create the hype for people to raise that. These are very important, you know, landslide elections that are going to happen in the Republic of South Africa 30 years after the dawn of democracy. It's been 30 years. Come the 27th of April. But I think the IEC must not drop the ball now to say they've done their work. I think they should continue from, you know, on Monday moving forward in encouraging South Africans to register.
Former ANC secretary, was the secretary general, Ace Magashule.
Yes, Mr. Ace Magashule.
He's alluded to the fact that an election could be stolen. Former President Zuma has also done the same.
Yes.
What do these utterances say about the integrity of the IEC?
Look,
are they saying to us, we know how it has been done before, therefore it's going to happen again? Because surely it's not in the IEC's interest for there to even be a suggestion then a vote can be stolen, or an election can be stolen.
Look, the IEC came guns blazing and defending that and ridiculing. You know, I listened to the former IEC boss, Ntate Tshilane, saying it's very disturbing that so senior people from the ruling party, now that they have differences with the ANC, they come and say such. But fresh, I'm one of the people who believes that a political party that is in power, as well as the funders of an electoral system, they are in a position to can manipulate votes. And that happens all over the world. It can be done. It's not foolproof. It's not 100% foolproof. I don't say it has happened. But the fact that a former head of state who was elected twice into power, Ntate Zuma, as well as the secretary general, and I've always said the SG of a political party, is a powerhouse of the organization. And you must also remember that Ace Magashule was not only the SG of the ANC who lasted 2 years max. He was the premier of the Free State, the longest serving premier that South Africa has ever had. He was the premier, you know, for over 2 terms. You understand? So for them to make such utterances, personally, I looked at it and I said, are they telling us something indirectly? Are they saying a vote has been stolen or cooked and something has happened? They can't just say such utterances.
It's reckless.
Or reckless utterances. And it's very disturbing. But when they were saying it as people who, as if they know what had transpired.
Exactly.
And now that they have crossed the floor to the other side, they are saying, we are not going to let that happen. We are going to open the hawk's eyes and watch over the IEC conduct. Look, if they are going to do that, it's good for the country. If it has happened, it's an unfortunate situation. But the IEC has received green ticks from all over the world, observers, even from the ruling party itself when they were winning. And we want to see what's going to happen after these elections.
Sure.
But I think those utterances or those reckless statements, they have made other political parties to open their eyes wiser, to focus more better.
Now, speaking of elections, ex-ANC Western Cape leader Marius Fransman has he's emerged from political wilderness, if you will, to launch a new political party, the People's Movement for Change.
That is, I think it's only operating in the Western and the Northern Cape.
But he's denied rumors the party was in talks with MK.
Well, I've seen and I've noted the denial.
Sure.
And we should remember how Marius.
Marius Fransman.
Marius.
And surely he's got a big constituency in the Western Cape.
Look, he's got a very good footprint. We should remember what actually happened to his political career.
Mm.
One, it was a natural loss to the Democratic Alliance, where the DA came and overpowered the ANC, even before him. And he tried to contest once or twice, and he lost to the DA. The second part is he had scandals of corruption and allegations of rape and sexual assault that actually dented his reputation. And I think at that time, he felt like his party, the ANC, did not protect him, did not stay on his side when he was facing, you know, fire from outside. And it's one of those, I didn't want to use the word disgruntled, one of those people who feels the ANC have done them wrong, and he has seen an opportunity in the Western Cape where the ANC has not been doing well over the years. You know, the arise of a Patriotic Alliance, the arise of Patricia de Lille's former party in the Western Cape, it dented the ANC, especially with the so-called colored voters and communities. But Marius as well. But the I think this is going to dent the ANC even further in the Western and the Northern Cape with Marius coming back into politics. Look, I think the ANC is being beaten, hit, you know, from all sides. But the chances of ANC regaining the Western Cape, in my books, zero for now. They may lose Gauteng.
But would Marius do anything to take ANC votes already in the Western Cape? And do you think he'll do anything to the DA numbers in the Western Cape?
He will, Fresh, definitely. You know, the Cape Coloured community, it's very big. And the DA hasn't done well for them.
And they often feel unheard, unseen, unrepresented.
Yes. Exactly. So he will do a dent. And look, he's got a footprint. He has been there. He knows the ground. And he will take from both the ANC and the DA. Understand? And not as an outright winner, but those little margins are going to, again, create another kingmaker, understand? And somebody that they will need to go into coalition. And after doing this, I'll come to a story of how, you know, this thing of coalition and small parties are mushrooming. It has two folds, you know. A fold that it could be people trying to resuscitate the ANC where people have lost trust in the ANC. It also could be people who are very angry with the ANC who are saying, let us collapse the ANC in order to come up with something completely different.
Sure.
And I see the Western Cape going the same route. The Western Cape, the ANC is going to be worse off. They will, chances of them winning in KZN and have, you know, greatly diminished. Gauteng, it has been a neck on neck in Gauteng. And this time the signs are getting clear that they are going down. So there's a challenge in the Free State. You know, Magashule has a footprint in the Free State. So there's problems almost everywhere. Maybe with the exception of Limpopo, maybe with the exception of Mpumalanga and the Eastern Cape. To some extent, the Northern Cape and Northwest, but they're having challenges in very important and key provinces.
In fact, let's stay with elections and things, politics and voting. So obviously, South Africa went to the International Court of Justice, took Israel there, arguing genocide.
Yes.
And earlier this week, President Ramaphosa alluded to the fact that a lot of people in the West will not be happy with South Africa's position, and that chances are they could possibly even attack the country internally in terms of politics.
Yes, yes.
And even try and push for regime change. What are your thoughts on that?
Mr. Ramaphosa and the regime change, when we said this years back, when Jacob Zuma, the West was attacking Jacob Zuma to put him in, and we spoke of regime change that is being orchestrated by the imperialists and the West, people thought we are conspirators, you know, conspiracy theorists.
Sure.
And it's happening that it's now coming from the head of state.
Mm.
But I don't think Mr. Ramaphosa is correct when he there is, let me first say, there is Western countries involvement in South African politics and political parties. There definitely is. They are finding...
So it's happening already anyway.
It has been happening already anyway.
So it won't be anything new.
No, it's not new. But now I'm glad that those who thought we are talking conspiracies and who are on the side of President Ramaphosa, they've heard it from him now to say it's going to come in high scale at the moment. He is simply saying the way the Western countries are angry with the outcome of Israel, particularly the UK, the US, who are well-known funders of political parties in South Africa. They are now going to pump more money for regime change because they see the ANC-led government of Ramaphosa even have acted against one of their allies.
Mm.
You understand? So, again, Flesh, if foreign countries that have been funding political organizations, there's rumors that Mazoti is funding the EFF.
Mm.
The Stellenbosch Mafia is funding the Ramaphosa ANC. The Guptas were said to have funded the Jacob Zuma ANC.
Mm.
There's rumors that the Patriotic Alliance is being funded by Israel. That's why they've been pro-Israel.
Isn't there a rumor about Sarah also being funded by the same people?
By the same people, you understand? Mm. Now, this has been happening when it suits them, when these funders, when those who feed you control you, decide that your stomach is becoming too big and you are saturated, we'll move our money to a smaller stomach that we can control, a hungry stomach. That's how politics work. They look for a hungry stomach that is desperate for money, and they put their money there. Why is he lamenting?
That can be forever indebted.
Understand? Why is he lamenting? And you know, I think, again, the president, week by week, he's trying to control and influence the situation, but he's doing it on wrong stuff.
Mm.
South Africa has done well on the IEC case. For him to say Israel, the US, the UK, and other countries that supported them, they are going to now go for regime change and fund opposition parties in South Africa to make the country unstable. But that's the purpose of politics.
Mm.
You want to remove the part that is in power. You go to contest elections because you want to, as Julius said, Mr. Ramaphosa announced the date so that we can move faster towards removing you from power. The purpose of the opposition to exist is not just to sit there and oppose.
It's a contestation.
It's to take over. It's a contestation.
Mm.
But nobody must come and say imperialists, the West, the CIA and enemy agents are funding this particular political party because all of them, they are funded somewhere, somehow.
And by someone with an interest.
By someone with an interest. And who are the people with interest in this instance?
Mm.
It's business people.
Sure.
It's people who are investing trillions of dollars or rands in South Africa. And they want their puppet to be in power so that they can control them. And their puppet can be any of the political leaders.
Mm. Mm.
So that they can actually continue to be in charge of the economy, in charge of the country.
Mm,
and that's how politics work all over the world.
In fact, since we are at regime change and ICJ, we might as well actually go to the ICJ. So the ICJ stopped short of ordering a ceasefire.
They did not.
It's almost like on the Jewish side, they were celebrating that it's a victory of sorts, but we're also celebrating that it's a victory. Who won here? Because we know the Palestinians are still losing.
Yeah.
Who won here?
Flesh, people say I am sometimes a pessimist. I'm not a pessimist. I'm a very optimistic person, but I'm also realistic.
You're a realist.
Yeah, I'm a realist, okay? Mm. On the book, on paper.
Sure.
We did not win as South Africa because what the International Court of Justice has said, they have given Israel a bomb to say, go and sort your house out.
Mm.
You understand? Let me
say, so they've said, keep bombing, but just be careful.
The day the ICJ made the ruling, that day, that evening, Israel continued to bomb Gaza.
Mm.
Until today, as we are talking, yesterday, some Israel soldiers, undercover soldiers, entered a hospital during the week.
Mm.
Entered a hospital disguised as medical officers from donor organizations.
Sure.
And they massacred people that they claim to have been Hamas agents inside a hospital.
Mm.
Imagine if it was Hamas or the Palestinians
who
would have entered the hospital disguised as doctors and nurses and medical personnel, and they kill people. Israel never stopped bombing Palestine until today. But what is said with this whole preliminary, we must also be very clear to our followers and viewers that this is a preliminary judgment. The main judgment may take months or even a year to come.
It could take years for them to rule on the genocide.
It's preliminary. The South African application to the International Court of Justice was very clear. They requested or they asked the court for an immediate ceasefire. The court failed to pronounce expressly and explicitly for ceasefire Israel.
But they still called Israel out, though.
They still call it out. Look, the judgment, it's damning towards Israel as well, because it has created a platform and an opportunity for other countries and for South Africa to can take this matter either to the, if Israel doesn't comply, they can go to the International Criminal Court, they can go to the United Nations Security Council, they can now invoke the Genocide Convention.
Do you think Israel care?
No, Israel does not care. First, let me tell you, Israel does not care, and I think they have shown the International Court of Justice a middle finger.
They've been showing the United Nations the middle finger since the 60s.
2 days after that pronouncement on the past Sunday, 12 Israeli ministers had a press conference, and one after the other, they kept on reiterating how they are going to continue to hunt Hamas, how the Palestinians, if they don't want to be killed by their missiles and drones, they should immigrate to Israel. Now, you occupy somebody's land. After occupying somebody's land, you kill them, you harass them, you starve them, and then you ask them immigrate. So this is actually part of the plot and the plan to completely erase the Palestinians off the map by asking them to immigrate to Israel. I mean, it's like somebody coming to your house fresh and occupies three quarters of your house, and he takes your wife, and he takes your kids, and while you are sitting there,
you're in the back room.
You are in the back room, but he still comes and say, if you want peace and you don't want me to bomb the back room, come and join us in the main house that they've occupied. That's in simple language what Israel is doing by showing the world a middle finger. But the judgment, it's not, there's a silver lining in this judgment. But we are talking of time. We are talking of loss of lives that are continuing. And I think the court should have pronounced on ceasefire. You know what is worse for me in this whole thing? It's the part of the judgment that says, Israel, go and prosecute those who are responsible for genocide. They are saying that to the Prime Minister, is it Benjamin Netanyahu?
Netanyahu, yes.
Netanyahu, go and prosecute. Then it's simply saying to Israel, the political leaders of Israel who took the decision to bomb Palestine, they are not responsible for this genocide. The soldiers that press the buttons and the triggers must be charged by their political leaders. How absurd that is. You understand? How upset if President Ramaphosa, as the commander-in-chief
of
the South African armies or arms, and gives a command with his generals and intelligence officials to go and bomb Lesotho, touch wood, we won't do that. And then after the United Nations legal court stands up and say, President Ramaphosa, can you please stop, number one, and prosecute in the next 1 month, come with a report of how you are going to prosecute those who are bombing Lesotho. That's madness. So I am not that much excited about this ruling. It has put South Africa on the map. I still have concerns. I think in the next 2 or 3 weeks, we'll talk about the concerns. If we recall that early January, towards the end of December, early January 2023, I said, I am very concerned about who's the brain behind this process. It happened so fast. We filed on the 29th of December. It's a very, very expensive exercise that may amount to millions of rands. Where did we get the money from? Did we budget for it? Where did we borrow from? It was for good intentions. It was all good. It was for humanitarian purpose. But we as a nation, we must be wary of doing other people's dirty work.
Sure.
In a sense. So ask yourself a question. Why not even a single Arab state, especially those who are anti-imperialist, anti the West, like Iran, those who have been on the side of Palestine, like Turkey, why none of them took that position? They've got the resources.
Sure.
They are Arabs. They are friends, like we are friends of Palestine. Why did it have to be South Africa? I'm happy with my country. I'm happy we did it. But we must not be excited by actually finding ourselves opening a Pandora box of something that may come and hurt us. But for the Palestinian people, it's a good cause. Sadly, If it was me, if I was the commander-in-chief, I would say, South Africa, take money, buy drones, give them to the Palestinians to defend themselves. Because we can't send army there. We can't fight Israel. Israel is using drones and American-supplied, you know, bombs to can kill the Palestinians. Who is supplying the state of Palestine? Forget Hamas.
So they can defend themselves.
So that they can defend themselves, even with defense equipment. Because in a war, you don't only use assault equipment. There's defense equipment, you know, bomb-proof vests, bulletproof vests, and things like, who is supplying Palestine with defense equipment? And sometimes the best form of defense is attack.
Yeah.
So the ordinary Palestinians, who is helping them to defend themselves against the aggression of Israel?
And I mean, if a robber is hiding in my house, surely you must exercise all caution in apprehending that robber, that I'm not affected.
Exactly.
If you're helping me. Or killed. Or, but if your attitude is, as long as there's a robber in your house must go.
It must collapse.
That's problematic.
Yeah. But, you know, this genocide, I said, this is not going to end now. And I think the ICJ ruling has actually confirmed what I was said, to say it's going to be a formal hearing. The outcome will be positive. It will prolong this whole process.
Sure.
Understand? So unfortunately, we are at that state with the ICJ ruling.
Let's bring it back home. So the court has struck off the roll, the EFF application to overturn Pali decision to suspend some of the EFF's MPs and dock their February salaries. So they're going to miss SONA.
Hey, not only SONA, it's the love month. The red overalls are not going to have a red Valentine. You know, I think they were very cruel. But let me tell you politically.
Sure.
The parliament, when they made this decision, they were very, very, very strategic. They were thinking ahead. Why didn't they dock the other? They took this decision in end of November, beginning of December.
They could have docked December. Yeah.
Why didn't they dock the... Okay, let's say that the December salary payroll was out.
Or January.
Why didn't they dock the January salary? Why did they choose February? It was a very strategic move. They wanted the EFF not to be there to disrupt the sun. That was the whole strategy.
Okay.
And it's a lot of them. And they know that the EFF MPs, they contribute some money towards the party, a certain percentage of their income towards the party. And it's a lot of them from their leader. I think over 20 of their MPs. So it's leaving only a few that are going to go to parliament during SONA. I think the EFF will boycott SONA. They won't send a few unless they decide to go. We are going to disrupt him anyway with the few that are there. That was one element. But the EFF also did a very clumsy mistake that I didn't expect it from them. With all the legal brains behind them, you know, their former chairperson is one of the leading counsel. They filed the responding or answering affidavit in court late. That's why the court struck it off the roll.
Sure.
They actually even filed it almost at midnight. Before the following day court. So based on that, it's just struck off the roll. They didn't lose the case. They are talking of taking the decision of the court to strike it off the roll on review, but not only to say they were late.
Sure.
On other elements that were pronounced on that. To say, for example, you are punishing us for one alleged act of misconduct. Three times. You are first of all striking the case of the roll. Secondly, you are taking our salaries. Thirdly, you are banning us from being in parliament for the month of February until the end of February. We are missing the SONA. So they think the punishment is too harsh and it's on threefold.
Sure.
And to say, if you are banning us from being in parliament, okay, but why do we take our salaries?
Because that already is punitive.
So I think it was a very harsh punitive a decision by parliament, but they have caused themselves this problem, not by protesting and climbing the stage, but by filing court documents late. I don't know why did they have to wait until the last minute. And if our viewers could recall, this is the incident that happened when President Ramaphosa was addressing the parliament and answering questions, and they climbed on the stage with placards. But I like their defense. They had a very good defense to say, we were protesting peacefully. We were not violent. Because how does a violent person come raising hands? If you are holding a placard, you are raising hands. If you remember those videos, they didn't have arms. They didn't have bottle of water. They had placards. They wanted to be on stage and embarrass and disrupt, but as they always do.
But also, you can't rush the stage where the president is speaking, though.
First, if you are in parliament, everybody who's there is very important. Those people, to get into the National Assembly, they go through metal detectors. They go through everything. Yes, the security guards and protectors of the head of state, they had to block them. They had to shield and surround the head of state for protection. But they manhandled them. You know, they before they were even very close to the head of state, they were pushed out, thrown out, kicked and beaten up. Look, the EFF is used to that. They've been beaten up for the last 10 years.
And I think sometimes Mbuyiseni is like, Shamis being carried out.
Yeah.
There's always a shot of Mbuyiseni being carried out.
But he's the tiniest of all of them. So it's easy to grab him. It's easy to grab him with his belt and throw him out.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they will definitely miss Sona. Even if the reviewer appealed this, they're not going to get a date sooner than the Sona. I mean, we are left with what, almost 2 weeks to be on Sona. So they are definitely going to miss that. So those who like drama, there will be no drama during Sona this year.
Sure. Let's move to another party. The ANC has finally taken action against former President Zuma.
Yes.
But it's a suspension, not an expulsion.
Summarily suspension.
Yes.
Yes. Which actually in legal terms, it means you are immediate, without being given a chance, you are suspended. Actually, they didn't suspend the person. I learned something from ANC members, you know, when we have arguments, they didn't suspend him, because my argument was, why don't they suspend Jacob Zuma in terms of their constitutional prescription, like they did with Ace Magashule? You are suspended, there's an investigation, you are charged, you are held before the year. So in this instance, summarily means with immediate effect, we're not even going to listen to you. Because my other question was, why are they not charging him if he has brought the organization into disrepute?
And how is this not an expellable offense?
Because
you're decampaigning the party.
Okay, they must go through the process to expel. But in this instance, they're not even going through the process. They're like, your membership has been suspended. Stay there and do your thing. We are focusing. It's an election year. We are focusing on this.
We'll see you when we come back.
I think it was a good decision on their side, because they don't want to be derailed about this. Sure. They also don't want
To martyr him.
Yes, or to martyr him. That will give him more ammunition. But there's another issue. In 2 weeks' time, the ANC has contradicted itself. The region the regional sub-region where Nkandla comes from, where Jacob Zuma is a member, the province of KwaZulu-Natal of the ANC, the national leadership of the ANC, and some of the veterans of the ANC, they have said he expelled himself from the party by pronouncing that he's campaigning for another party, automatically expelled himself.
Sure.
So since the 16th of December until the 16th of January, the ANC had told us that man, you know, expelled himself. But now they come back after the 16th of January, after a month, and say, no, he didn't expel himself, actually. We're putting him on suspension. How do you put a person on suspension that you have pronounced that he expelled himself? If he expelled himself, why do you still chase after him? Why do you still want to suspend his membership? I said in the past, I think they should have blue-ticked him and left it as it is. But they're again playing into the hands. And Jacob Zuma, membership of the ANC, has been suspended. And we don't know until when. Maybe until after the election. But he now turned the tables against them fresh. He also blue-ticked them. There's no statement from his foundation. There's no statement from MK. There's no statement from Jacob Zuma.
Did he get the letter? Pelagre, it's a suspension letter.
Saw the suspension letter. Whether he got it or not, I don't. They could have emailed it or sent it.
Do you think he cares?
I think he doesn't care. I think he's focusing on building the MK party, which I said to people this week, you know, the formation of MK. And remember, in the last 6 weeks, since the pronouncement, 5 weeks actually, there's a lot of small political parties or breakaway from the ANC, which have now aligned themselves, even some Africanist parties like the BLF, which have pronounced that, and they are aligning themselves with the MK party. And first, let me tell you what is my opinion politically regarding the formation of MK. It has dislocated and disrupted the Moonshot Pact. You call it the Moonshot, no? The DA with its alliances. The white capital that in one of our previous show, I said white capital and imperialist have been wishing to have a coalition between the Democratic Alliance and the ANC if the ANC loses power. The most sensible coalition based on the policies, because the policies of the ANC are no longer leftist. They are center-right or center. The DA is right policies, absolutely right policies. For white capital, for imperialists, for investors, and for those who own resources and the land and control the government in South Africa, for them, a coalition of the ANC and DA will make perfect sense. Mm. And they are wishing for that.
Sure.
And I said, now, with the arrival of MK, it has disrupted that moonshot pact. Because those who are funding and supporting the DA with its six other allies like IFP and ACDP and Freedom Front Plus, those who met in Captain Park a few months back to sign a moonshot pact, those who thought they are doing very well and if they can take the vote of DA and everybody combined to at least 35% and ANC drops to 45%, I'm just using those percentages as examples, they were wishing that should happen and ANC must lose below 50
sure.
so that they can engage with them and talk to them.
Mm.
Now MK is arriving and other political parties, Marius Fransmanes, Mushroomed and others, they are taking more from the ANC. They are weakening it further. And it's going to be the decision of the ANC to say, who do we go to bed with? And then will they risk to bed with the DA, which is their arch rival and arch enemy? Or will they say, as Jacob Zuma and MK want, remember Jacob Zuma and MK have said, we want to correct the ANC.
Sure.
Well, understand? They will say, our brothers, come back home. Let us talk left politics. Mm. Let us unite. We will do the right thing this time. So the ANC, it's actually going to be in a very difficult situation after the elections, should they lose, which I think they will drop below 50%, to decide who they go to bed with. They can't go to bed with both.
Mm.
You understand? Mm. It's not a situation that you've got two wives and you take them to bed. They will have to select or elect one party or grouping that they go to bed with. And it's going to be a very, very challenging. My observation, I was saying to people, should the ANC go to bed with the DA, they will still go and govern and rule this country. The status quo will remain.
Mm.
They will continue with the DA to lead this country until 2029.
Mm.
But that will be the final nail in the coffin of the ANC, because people will get more angry to say the situation did not change.
Mm.
We gave you another chance. You decided to go to bed with a white-led and white-dominated supremacist party like the DA.
That tend to score race own goals.
Own goals.
And not admit that there's racial undertones in some of the things.
Absolutely. If they do that, and if they swallow their pride and they look at the ground and the black people needs in South Africa, that they represent the majority, we must give them that, and decide to go to bed with MK, which will get big numbers, or the EFF.
Mm.
Because between EFF and MK, I think they are the two political parties that will get the big numbers after ANC and DA. The EFF and the MK will still get the big numbers.
Mm.
If the ANC, after the elections, decide to go to bed with MK and EFF or MK or EFF, either way, they are faced with a serious problem, because now they will have their former comrades who are saying, we are back, we are here, you will do it our way or we'll pull out the percentage. So I was saying to a political friend last night that actually the ANC is in serious trouble. We may find a coalition government of national politics, which will actually collapse governance in the country. If you look at what is happening in the metros, metros have collapsed. They're not functioning. Fairly and squarely speaking, they're not functioning the way they are supposed to.
Mm.
Imagine if we have a coalition government at national point that is malfunctioning. The governance in the country will collapse.
It's not preferred.
It's not a preferred, but let me prepare your mind. That's where we are going. We are not going to have an outright winner. We are not.
Mm.
We are not going. And if the ANC loses with a small margin of about, say, 45, they lose 5% or 6%, they can take the small parties like the IFP.
Mm.
They will still have an upper hand.
Mm.
IFP is much more of a stable organization that will say, give us deputy presidents and give us KwaZulu-Natal as premiers, then we are at peace and we'll move forward. In that instance, they can. But if the loss is going to be more than 10% of the seats, of less than 50%, let's say between 39 and 42, that's my estimate at the moment, 39 to 42%.
Mm.
If the ANC drops to that level, we are faced with a very serious coalition government, national government. We'll be back to 1994.
Jeez.
Government of national unity. But that time it was unity, this time it will be a coalition where everybody wants to be the boss.
Mm.
And those are some of the challenges the ruling party is faced with.
The other day, Gauteng Premier Panyaza Lesufi obviously countering MK, said that MK veterans should not go to MK and that they've got 3,000 job opportunities for MK veterans to be crime fighters. What are your thoughts on that?
Our friend Hendrik, you know, now I remember the Hendrik Banyaza Lusufi, you know, the premier of Gauteng, the number one citizen of Gauteng, has brilliant and great ideas, but sometimes they are not practical. Let me tell you with this one you are answering.
Because already you are struggling just to pass Amapanyaza.
Yes, you understand? And who are young, energetic. First of all, when you say MK veterans.
I saw my first ever white Lipanyaza earlier on today.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know that there are white Mapanyazas in the group.
You know what? Everyone is unemployed. Everyone needs a job. Everyone needs an opportunity. But I've just never seen a white Lipanyaza. And I saw one today, right here, downtown Jozi.
Maybe I should have applied for that. I'll be having a BMW and a job. Oh, but I'm over 35, so I didn't qualify. But as their commander, at least.
Yes.
But let me tell you with this idea of Ntate Panyaza Lusufi, what's the problem? When you start saying veterans of MK, majority of them are over 50.
Yes.
Majority, some are over 60. Mm. So are you saying you are going to take those old former guerrillas and retrain them and condition them to be law enforcers? Come on, please. What can they do at the moment? They are tired. And
they can give you a lecture.
Okay, if you say they want them to be lecturers like me.
Don't do crime.
Yeah, but that's one. Two, he is missing his plot of youth employment, Nazi spani. You understand? Now, this proposal of him is actually crushing his Nazi spani idea of empowering and employing youth. But again, Fresh, what guarantee does Ntate Panyaza Lusufi have that if they hire this Umkhonto we Sizwe former soldiers, those people will not support or vote for Umkhonto we Sizwe? What guarantee does he have? You know, if I align and associate myself with a certain political party, whether ideologically or historically, or from my heart and emotions,
sure,
and you pay me, you give me a job now, being unemployed, you give me a job, it is not going to change my political discourse. Maybe it's trying to deal with the issue of them campaigning for MK. And I think he may be successful if he gives them work and they will watch them and say, comrade, we saw you on TV wearing MK t-shirt and we don't like that because we gave you a job at the moment. But there are problems in Gauteng. Let me tell you, the NC has done this thing of using former MK groupings, because they've been then, before the political party, former Umkhonto we Sizwe soldiers had grouped themselves in various businesses.
Sure.
And one of the businesses they grouped themselves into was the control of the Johannesburg property company. They were given taxi ranks and some buildings to manage in Johannesburg. Look what has happened now. They started fighting amongst themselves and with political office bearers to say, yeah, but you are favoring MK former guerrillas, and some of them too can be managers of taxi rank and taxi facilities and things like that. A few years back, I was part of the team that opened the taxi rank, or the it's not even the taxi rank, it's the transport hub center that is exactly 400 meters from where we are. Until today, it's not functioning.
Sure.
Because of the dispute that former MK people who were with the Johannesburg property company, who are managing ranks and buildings in Gauteng, are saying, but that administration of that ranking facility should have been brought to us. Now it's sitting there as a white elephant. It's not being used after billions have been spent to erect it. A very state-of-the-art facility, and it's not being used for intended purposes. So I don't think Panyaza has it right. But you know the statements that politicians say at platforms when they're excited and they want to manage situations, they're very dangerous statements. Because now MK former soldiers can stand up now and say, you promised us jobs, 3,000 jobs.
Already many of them are feeling left out. Many of them are feeling betrayed. Many of them are feeling like we sacrificed so much. And I live in a shack.
Yeah.
I live in an informal settlement.
Exactly.
I didn't sacrifice all that I did to have this existence.
And I feel sorry for young ANC leaders or current ANC leaders like Abu Panyaza, not Ma Panyaza, Abu Ntate Panyaza Lusufi.
Yes.
That they are trying to correct the wrongdoings of their veterans or elderly people. One of the mistakes that happened with former liberation fighters, whether it's Umkhonto we Sizwe, APLA or Azanla, is they were not afforded the same benefits and treatment the way the apartheid soldiers who were already on the system have benefited. You know, that integration process, they integrated warm bodies to say, come and join the South African National Defense Force as former liberation fighters. And they didn't give them an equal footing. You understand? And I think that's where things went wrong. Because if you look at former apartheid soldiers who were in the South African Defense Force, who either retired, some of them, they still have benefits of the former apartheid government, the pensions, the benefits, the housing. Some of them are still living as retired military personnel. They are still living in houses that were afforded to them or awarded to them by the former apartheid regime. And the, you know, negotiated political settlement with the Sunset Clause and whatever, it failed to take care of the liberation movement fighters. And that's why we see many of them roaming the streets, hungry, frustrated, you know. And
some even turn into crime.
Yes, some they turn into crime.
Using their military experience.
Exactly. You know, and it's because we failed to handle as a nation some of these things. When I was already in government, 2 years in government, and they were giving pensions or payouts for former liberation movement guerrillas. I'm one of the people who applied, you know, to be paid the money, and it was declined because I was already working for a government department at that time, which was a fair decision to decline me.
Sure.
But imagine a person who was not working, who didn't want to be a soldier, and who didn't want to join forces. I know many liberation movement fighters who said, I'm not going to share a room, a bed, or barracks, or a vehicle with a person who was my enemy. I'm still angry. Therefore, I'm taking a package out. Sure. Then they were given, you know, small packages, and they left. Money gets wiped up very quickly. So we didn't have a social program as a nation to take care of our former liberation movement fighters, and trying to bring it now through a back door the way Ntate Panyaza is doing, it is very dangerous. It is dangerous to have a soldier that is frustrated and that is a combatant who knows how to fight and is hungry. It's a very dangerous thing to have soldiers who are sitting in those positions. But yeah, I am not criticizing Ntate Panyaza. I am saying you can do this, but do it within the legal parameters and do it well, because his intentions are good.
Absolutely. Yeah. And in closing, Botsang, often we hear of political assassinations or killings happening in KZN. But in recent times, there's a lot happening in Gauteng province. There's a lot happening in Johannesburg. I mean, we had a Rand water exec that was murdered in front of school children.
Yes, fresh.
Bratebza.
Yes.
And you knew him personally?
He was a personal friend. I actually watched the other Bafana Bafana game, not the one with Morocco during the week, the one before.
With Namibia.
With Namibia. Mm. I watched the game with him.
Oh, wow.
And we were at Coffin's and John. We used to meet there frequently. I've known him for many years since he was the spokesperson of ANC in Tshwane. Because he comes from the Tshwane region.
Yeah, because a friend of mine says they played golf together often.
Yes, yes.
And he speaks glowingly of him.
No, I can tell you, I'm not from the ANC. I've known him being from one of the most level-headed ANC a person coming out of Tshwane. But he was also a well-informed, well-learned, and hard-working public administrator. He was a public servant, not just a political. To work for Rand Water, he was not just a deployee of the ANC there. He was employed by Rand Water. And even when I spoke to him last week, actually, I teased him. I said, how come you come and watch the game with me while you are in your suits and cufflinks and nice shirts? And he said, hey, Mchan, I'm from work. I was late because we had an appointment. He came rushing to. And immediately after the game, he left. And I can tell you, Fresh, I met with him at least once a month in the last 6 months. Mm. And he indeed was with bodyguards. Mm. He did talk to me. What is happening at Rand Water and why is he having bodyguards?
I was going to say, why would an exec of a utility need protection?
That's where you link political office bearers with executives of utilities. And that's why some of us are sitting at home. And let me explain how does it work. For example, Rand Water is the water utility, bulk supplier of water for the Rand area, which is in inverted commas, Joburg and Gauteng. So he will work very closely, obviously, with politicians from the municipal, the MMCs, the councillors, and so that's why when that hit happened, there was a chief whip, and who is a councillor that comes from the ward of the school they were using.
Oh yeah, he's in hospital.
He's in hospital. Yes, in hospital. And this morning, as I was driving to the studio, it was reported that his condition has stabilized. Thanks God that he is safe now. But that's where the link. Remember, when you work for a state utility, you will work very closely with political office bearers, councillors, municipal managers, and things like that. Once there's a dispute, and again, this is how coalitions and the you know, unsettled city of Joburg is experiencing problems. People are fighting for tenders. People are fighting for money. You become a casualty of political infighting.
Sure.
You become a casualty of saying, you are our member. We placed you there. You will do things according to what the political party want.
Because the cream is always in procurement.
Yes, it's procurement. Yeah. Look, he was not even in procurement. His responsibility was more of public relations. And sure. That's why he was giving something of goodwill. You know, shoes and books and uniform for kids.
Mm.
But if you want to see how merciless these corrupt people are, is to go and shoot a person in front of pupils, young school children. And you can see he was a target. But, you know, having a background of how security works, I am very disturbed on the fact that they knew that Ntate Edwala was being targeted. I mean, the city as well as the organization he worked for says at some stage they even upped his security from 2 to 4. Fresh, if my life is threatened and I come to this studio, one thing that you do if you are going to have events, and this is where our security personnel fail us, if you are going to have an event and a person who's under threat comes to that event, you first sweep the area, you know, before the event starts. Secondly, you don't have a security and a bodyguard is just sitting inside the room next to you. That's why those people could come in past everybody else and they managed to shoot at him and the bodyguard because the councillor or the chief whip was a victim of circumstances. You could see he was targeted. Why didn't they have security and to cross-check the people who were coming in there from the outside?
Especially in a massive public event.
Exactly. So it's unfortunate that we have lost one of the key public, servants in South Africa, who was not only a member of the ANC or a mere politician. This man was serving the public entity and public institution. He believed very strongly, I can tell you, in good governance. He believed in uplifting the lives of people. He spoke very high of how he's now has left political offices and he's enjoying his work at Rainwater because he has been there for quite some time. And we have lost that life. We have lost a father of 3 children. And who was just there doing his job and refusing to be corrupt. And you are saying it used to happen in KZN. It's all over the country now. Maybe in KZN, it's political office bearers who are being killed. Now in Gauteng, it's spreading in the Northwest. They are killing people who are doing business with government or people who are in strategic government position of supply chain management or finance, you know, the tender control committees. This past Sunday evening, just before even the Monday shooting of Joburg, in the Free State province, a head of supply chain management of the, what do they call it, of the health department was shot in a joint, in a so-called joint sitting, restaurant eating. People came, called him out. And when he refused to go out, they actually pulled out guns and shot him 3 times. But unfortunately, 2 bullets missed him and 1 hit him, and he's in a stable condition as well. And everybody's hiding. Jeez. But this thing is not only happening in politics. It's happening in the taxi industry. It's happening with DJs. It's happening with people who are restaurant owners. You know, like there's bullets flying all over. So I've once said we are a very violent nation. And people respond to political challenges and crises with violence. You know, if I don't agree with you, if I think you are taking food out of my mouth, the answer is to pull a trigger. And it's unfortunate that we are losing people who don't want to be corrupt. We are losing people who are refusing to be a part of this political war. So they become victims, casualties of political wars. And sorry to say this, but I'm a bearer of bad news sometimes. I think the situation is going to get worse.
Jeez.
And I'll tell you where it will get worse. Mm. The more the ruling party loses seats either in metros or in the regional government, which is the provincial government and the national government, those people, they owe people promises, they owe people money. Mm. They have promised people tenders and jobs, and they will have to pay back. They will have to adhere to the promise contract. And if you failed to do that, the people who have given you money and finance your lifestyle, they will come and take you out. And that's how mafias operate. That's why we spoke of the construction mafia, the taxi mafias. And then now it's the tender mafias, because people think they own these tenders. We have people in townships who go to somebody who opens a shop and say, you will pay us a certain percentage of money to come and operate here. Let me tell you, in areas like Tembisa, there's a business booming there that they called residences in Tembisa. So people go and buy land or develop houses to turn them into apartments and flats, and they rent them out. So they provide that. It's your private money, it's your private property. Mm. There are syndicates operating in Tembisa.
Jeez.
Going to property owners and say, you are having 10 flats here and you are making rent and money out of here. You'll give us 25 to 30% of the profit you are making. How absurd and mad is that? But it also shows how we need community services. We need communities to come together because we can't rely on the police only to fight this hideous crimes of murdering people left, right, and center. Our lives have become very cheap, and for various reasons. We are not safe. In not only now on the streets, even in restaurants, even in nightclubs or shebeens, and even in sports ground. Last night I learned on Thursday evening, I learned that somebody in Polokwane was shot and killed while he was leaving a gym. Now, this is not a shebeen, this is not politics. He was leaving the gym, going to his car, shot and killed. And these are some of the challenges we are facing. We are unsafe in the country. And even those who are armed and who carry guns, how often do you walk around the street carrying your gun to defend yourself?
Being paranoid.
And you may also get robbed by walking around with a firearm. You may be robbed that firearm.
Of the firearm, yes.
And then you get killed with your own firearm. But it's very sad for us as a nation that we are destroying each other like that. I hope the government can actually increase. We don't want to end up in a situation where week by week, now that it's an election year, but it's also happening every election year. Every time there's election in South Africa, there's a lot of political killings. And I don't know what the state has done about it successfully. I don't see any success, but I also do not know what more can the state do.
Also,
what more can they do? If the state asks us to report crime, to report suspicions, and now you find that if they say, Butang, report what you know, I'm part of the whole syndicate as well. But in closing on this part, let me say, let us stay away from dubious characters. Let us stay away from unsafe places, and let the people stay away from, illicit conduct of getting involved in bribes and dealings and all that. And I'm not alluding to say my friend Tepo went into that. I know personally he was against doing such things.
Sure.
And that's why I say he's a victim of, circumstances in this instance.
I think on that note, let's close it.
A sad note.
On that sad note. But also, I think it's a reality check that's what our politics has degenerated to.
Exactly, Fresh, yeah.
That those that are in a position to switch on or switch off a tap will often be targeted.
Yeah, that's why I don't want political money, anything that has money in it. I want the money, but not the one that comes via politics.
Yeah, absolutely. Botsang, where do we find you online? How do we buy your book?
Online, it's at Botsang M on social media handles, Fresh. And then on the telephone, WhatsApp, it's 082-485-9100. And on email, it's botsangm@gmail.com. And thanks for the show.
Great stuff. And Botsang Mwilwa is about to leave the building. Thank you, as always, for being a part of Hashtag Politics with Botsang. We're coming to you live from AMP Studios, downtown Johannesburg. We're part of the Africa Podcast Network. Pezulu Works, shout out for your cinematography. Don't forget, if you need cinematography, you need an after movie, you need whether it's an unveiling or a wedding or a birth, they will turn it into a movie for you. So get in touch with Pezulu Works. Our imaging specialist, artist, the Flo Fraser, and of course, our political, Botsang Mwilwa. Shout out to our creative producer, Krivesh Mohan, and our show producer, Keletso Modisa King. Please feel free to email us at waw@africapodcastnetwork.com. Till next week, have an incredible Politrix week, in spite of yourselves.